the opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gau Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Bellevue, Houston, a Gau Media station.
Sports, sports,
sports,
sports.
So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and stuff. And it's a brand new week, so let's get it rolling. It's a Monday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And The Blitz is on for Monday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabel, the Voldemort. If you want to get in today, 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. Or you can hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page, find the Blitz, click like, send a message. My man Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, 713-780-3776. And it's a Monday. Let's have some fun today. Things are starting to feel almost close to normal. What's happening, boys?
Sports and stuff, man. Things are feeling like normal to you?
Well, I think more people are out, you know, working again. I mean, we're not there yet, obviously, but it's a step. I mean, I'm not. I'm staying here.
Yeah, but, you know, the more I've thought about it, like, I know everyone thinks that going to restaurants is like, that's going to fix the economy or and things like that. What really, the economy is not going to get back to normal until people start buying cars, till we can fly, things like that. I think that's when we might see some real changes in the economy. But I don't know that, like with these restaurants, a lot of what's happening is restaurants are able to open now, which means technically everyone's able to open. So these restaurants who are not going to make nearly as much money as they would, you know, pre-corona, can't file for any sort of aid or assistance because, well, you're open. And the people that have been getting unemployment, the servers or cooks or whatever, now they're coming back to work and they're going to make less money than they were making on unemployment because they're not good. There's no way they're going to make the money that they would make if the restaurant was going full bore. So, you know, economically, I'm torn on where we're at with this thing. I think there's something to see on both sides of it, but it really is sort of a confusing situation that we're in.
Yeah, I agree. I guess maybe I'm feeling more normal. Maybe I'm just adjusting to never going anywhere.
Could be.
And you know, I'm still supporting local restaurants at least 3 or 4 times a week by ordering takeout.
Same.
And occasionally, like last night, we walked over to East End Hardware and got a couple drinks to go. And, you know, been doing that once a week or so to just keep supporting folks. But I don't know when I'm going to be ready to go sit in a restaurant again with a bunch of people. It's just, you know, I still think we can help out by getting to-go orders. I mean, it doesn't necessarily help the servers, but I'm still tipping on them. So,
yep.
But, you know, it's the scary thing for me is, and I've always been, maybe we should just let this thing play out because people aren't doing what they're supposed to. Because even, you know, going over there yesterday, like we were the only ones, and there was one other person with a mask. And it's kind of like, and of course, the people who work there. It's just like, how hard is that? You know, you're buying drinks to take home. You could take the mask off when you get home. And then they had, what, 250,000 people in Galveston this week on the beaches? It was like a holiday.
That's
weekend.
Absurd, by the way.
I mean, you know, I mean, and if people aren't going to do it, then what good are all these sacrifices people have been making?
That's kind of where I'm at. Like, if you know, it's one thing to say, oh, well, restaurants were opening 25%, but if an hour down the road, it's you know, basically Mardi Gras at the beach.
Yeah,
it's all for naught anyway.
Yeah, but. Yeah, you know, I don't know, but at least you know, we're going to keep going the way we're going and keep doing shows and having fun. And I'm, you know, I'm I'm set up to do this for as long as we need to, and we'll just do the best we can on our end. So,
yeah, I was in the office today, and we were discussing when we were planning on having guys back in the office, and I'm obviously in no hurry because our setup now is working fine. I said possibly mid-May, more likely June is kind of where I'm at right now.
Well, I'm you know, obviously I'll roll with whatever you say on this, but my, you know, I don't feel like we should be in any hurry. I think we can make this work, and you know, obviously, ideally, we're all back in studio, but we're going to get there at some point. It's not like it's never going to happen. So,
right.
To me, it's always let's just do, you know, let's do what we think is best for the whole company and for our people, and you know, from there we'll figure it out. But I think things are going to be the rest of the world. If I had to bet, the rest of the world is going to be out there doing stuff before we're back in studio.
Probably so.
So
we're in no real rush.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I want to take a second to thank everybody for playing in all of our poker tournaments. We wrapped the last one up Saturday.
Why did we decide it's the last one?
Well, because things are opening back up, and it's probably not going to be the last one. We may do one a month right now, but not it's doing one every week is an awful lot of work, and it's also as rooms start opening up again, we don't really want to be competing with our partners.
I get that, but I mean, until the rooms are open, it seems like it's a nice outlet.
Yeah, you just haven't had to do it.
No, that's true.
The three of us have had to give up our Saturdays for a month now to make this thing happen, and you know the numbers have kind of flattened off a little bit. We had 105 this week, which is what we had last week, and you know, and as things start opening up and people start going to the beach again, so they can hang out with 250,000 people. It's not as pressing for us to give people something to do, but
okay.
I don't think it's the last one we're ever going to do for sure. But the idea of doing them every week now, I think as things open up a little bit, we're going to move on to the next phase. Which I like the idea of one a month, and
okay.
You know, I think that could be plus that makes it a little more pressing for people to play. Because they're only going to get one chance, and but it was a lot of fun, and we raised a bunch of money, which I'm really happy about. That's the important thing. A lot of us who cashed donated some of our money back, which has happened every week, and not just people who work at the station, but some people who just won. And I managed to finish second again.
I heard you balled out on them again. Look at you, Freddie.
You know what though, and you'll understand this. I mean, finishing second twice in those four tournaments is a pretty damn good accomplishment. But if I have the lead heads up twice and don't win either one of them, I can't help but be disappointed. I mean, that's just I know it's stupid, but that's just me. Especially, I worked all the way back. I was down almost 4-1 to start heads up. Worked all the way back to the chip lead and then played Kings in a sneaky way and got beat. So cost me the tournament, but it was fun. I got to play with Norman Chad for the first time, and I jacked with him for about the first half hour. I didn't tell him it was me. And so I finally texted him when he was totally baffled by what I was talking about. Said, dude, that's me. But yeah, it was great, man, and some great players. And, you know, if you're going to get that deep, you got to get lucky. I got lucky once at the final table. I shoved with nines and ran into queens, and the first card out was a nine. I'm like, okay, I'll take it.
You got to have stuff like that if you're going to make a run. That's just
yeah,
the facts.
Yeah. And I mean, I just when I play well in these things, I just kind of hang around early. You don't even notice me. And then I get a couple hands, and then you look up and – suddenly I'm just collecting chips, and that's kind of what was happening. So it was a blast, and you know, I would love to do another one, and I think we will at some point, but right now we've got some other things that we all need to move on to in terms of our work life as well. So but again, if you guys liked them, thank Courtney, thank Jerry Bo. It really is an all-day project to make that thing happen, and but we're set up now that where if we decide, hey, let's do a $200 charity tournament July 1st for this. We're set up now to where we can do it, and hopefully it's something that'll continue. But, Aaron played. He hung around for a while. Aaron, tell me about your experience.
I had fun. I played in the first one, and last two Saturdays I was busy, but I knew since this was probably going to be our last one for a while, I had to play in it. I had fun. I mean, not nearly as much as the first one because, I mean, both y'all sat there and watched me during the first one where my name would drop all the way to dead last, and then I'd jump right back up, be in top three, and then jump, and it was a giant roller coaster. This time I hung around towards the bottom, I feel like most of it, and then started making a run when you and I started texting, Fred, and then just made stupid decisions down the stretch, especially when we were at the same table and it cost me.
Yeah, well, it's a learning experience. Like we talked about a couple of them, you know, that I texted you about. It's like, you know, maybe this next time or maybe this, but that's the fun of these things is you learn. And then when you get back to a real table, this is how AJ and I learned how to play poker was online. I mean, because we could play so many games and you get so many hands that you don't get in a live tournament.
Yep.
And I miss that. I wish it was legal. That's why every time I get to Canada, I'm sitting there multi-tabling on PokerStars. But it is a good way to learn to play poker, and you can see the difference between the free games and the cash games. It's just not the same.
Yeah, I learned that could actually record my screen through my MacBook because I don't have a good memory for this stuff. Like as soon as the cards are gone, I forget that hand completely. So the last 2 hours, I recorded my screen so I can go back and watch when I have some free time and make notes of what I did and maybe have Jerry look at it and tell me where I went wrong.
Yeah, that's a good plan, and it's a good way to learn. And the one thing that I always use on PokerStars is if you click on that stats while you're playing, and it's almost without fail, any tournament that I've ever gone deep in, I'm playing between 20 and 22% of the hands. If it's more than that, I'm not going to last. If it's less than that, then I'm just bleeding off. And I looked down Saturday when we were down to about 12 players, and I was sitting at 21%. I'm like, okay, that's the target.
That'll
do. That's
where
you want to be. All right, let's take a quick break. Man, lots of stuff to get to. Don't go anywhere. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
The Blitz.
Oh, that sounds great.
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we are back on the Blitz. Happy Monday, everybody. Hope you're having a great one. G-Town Heath says he lives a block from the seawall. The actions of those that traveled down there that past weekend is going to set our state back a few weeks. I hope I'm wrong, but whether it's a spike in cases due to the influx of a-holes or because the idiots decided to act like a-holes down here, Galveston needs to close down for tourism at the moment. I'd hate to see that, but you know what? I mean, we've seen this with every beach that opens. It just gets overwhelming. And
some knuckleheads, you know, my kid's baseball team was going to start doing some practices. We were dividing them up into small groups, and we were having them come out different days of the week. And now even that we can't really do because some knucklehead softball tournament tried to put a full-blown softball tournament on down at Houston Sportsplex. A bunch of people drink, like 300, 400 people. And jeez. The cops came out and blew it up, and now, you know, the county's being more strict about people gathering at all. It's like, dude, it's not that hard. It really isn't that hard just to follow some simple rules. And then, of course, today I'm seeing more like, if you see people gathering, call the cops. Like, I'm not calling the cops on people gathering. I'm a big believer in have some sense, man. Just do the right thing. It's not that hard.
Well, I had some neighbors that did some barbecuing, and they had like five or six people over. And okay, that's fine. I mean, what'd they say? Less than 10.
Yeah.
I'm not gonna complain about that. But you know, these stuff like that, where you're putting hundreds of people together, there's no need for it. There really isn't. And you know, but people are gonna do what they do, and you know, unfortunately, we can't even follow the simplest rules, which is why I just never thought this would work in the first place, because too many people just flat out ignore it. And I have friends that well, I'm not going to call them friends anymore. I have acquaintances that have been doing stuff like that. And it's like, dude, really? You're supposed to be smarter than that.
Well, we had my son's birthday was this weekend. So we had one of the families from our baseball team that's our, you know, our close friends, and they've been quarantined, just them, the entire time. We've been quarantined, just us. We were like, all right, well, let's get together and spend some time in the pool. And that's what we did, and that was the extent of it. But, I mean, there wasn't more than 10 of us. You know, it wasn't like some wild-ass party. And even then, we were telling the kids, like, hey, be in the pool. There's no wrestling in the pool, no climbing on each other. Just, you know, you can swim and not touch each other. We can have a good time and not touch each other. It's not that big of a deal.
I don't know, AJ. It sounds too reasonable to me.
You know, they call me Mr. Reasonable.
Oh, Colts fan Jose asking me what I thought about Meta Rick and Morty. I haven't watched it yet. I lost track of what day it was just because that's been happening a lot. So, hey, I wanted to mention something because I put out those Oakland Park plays Saturday. I hit one of them. The other ones I was close but didn't really work out. But early on in the card, while I was preparing for the tournament, I looked down and I see a horse that's 33-1. I'm like, this horse shouldn't be 33-1. He should be like 8-1. So bet a little bit across on him and wound up winning, and so I crushed it. But the thing I wanted to bring up is there was $41 million wagered on the races Saturday.
Oh boy! Because,
yeah, they moved the Arkansas Derby to Kentucky Derby Day, and it was a really good card and a lot of big fields. But it just goes to show you how desperate people are right now that $41 million was bet on it. And unlike Texas, most of these other states, everybody has legal online sites that the money goes into the pools.
Yeah.
So we don't have that. We have to use offshore sites. But and that money doesn't go into the pools. So God knows how much was bet on it that way. Just goes to show you that people will still dump a bunch of money, and right now there's fewer and fewer tracks, so those tracks are all doing pretty well. And hell, I've been messing around with Will Rogers Downs today, of all things. So, but you know, getting my pony on.
There you go. Did you watch the virtual Kentucky Derby?
I watched a replay of it. You know, it's not something that I am that.
You weren't waiting with bated breath for it. You weren't excited about it.
No, no. I mean, I said I watched it, but it's not like I, you know, not like I cared that much. I was curious where they would have American Pharoah running that thing, because I still think he's a much better horse than he gets credit for. And they had him a good fourth. He wasn't that far behind. So didn't embarrass. I didn't find it embarrassing, so. That was about it. I mean, you knew Secretary.
I didn't see any of it, but how did the horses look? Did they look remotely real?
No, it looked like that game that we play all the time in Vegas.
Oh, okay. So it was like animated.
Yeah. I mean,
I thought they were going to try to make it look realistic, and I was like, oh, maybe that'd be interesting. Not interesting enough that I would, like, you know, go out of my way to watch it, which clearly I didn't. But, yeah, that's disappointing.
Yeah, I mean, it wasn't bad. It's just you could tell it was all, you know, it was a simulation. So
yeah,
I'd be curious if people actually watched that live on TV, because I didn't. I mean, by then I was messing with the poker and I'm watching the Oaklawn races and didn't really want to spend much time with anything else. But I did watch it the next day and I was like, yeah, okay. And it was, yeah, I don't know. It's a simulation.
Yeah.
And so there's no real way of knowing how things would have played out, but pretty sure that, you know, if every horse ran his best race, Secretariat would win the thing, and that's what happened. So no shock. what would have been cool is if they'd done all of them in all three Triple Crown races and simulated that and seen how that would have gone. But probably would have ended the same way. So do you see, the big topic of the weekend that we have yet something else that's going to kill us now?
The murder hornets?
The murder hornets are
I can already tell
States.
You. I don't like them. I don't like them one bit.
Well, anything with murder in front of it, probably not a good thing.
Were you a fan of late 90s hip-hop faction Murder, Inc.?
I was a fan of the original Murder, Inc., which was a Jewish mob that committed hits for the Sicilian mob in New York.
Okay. See, I'm not even a fan of that. There's no murder things that I'm a fan of.
Well, I mean, it's not fan, but I was always, you know, I'm intrigued by any mafia stuff. So I've read a lot about Murder, Inc., but not the band.
Okay.
Although they might have had a band. I don't know. They were just a bunch of hit dudes. So, Asking for a Friend says, when some sectors of the government say essential workers should get hazard pay, do you agree? Do you think any stimulus should go to those without the ability to work? I don't know, man. That's a case-by-case.
Hazard pay should exist because, when there's a bunch of people who can't work at all, I get that, you know, there's people who are working. Honestly, like, they should be happy that they're able to work. Or maybe they should have the option to be furloughed, you know, if they don't want to, if they feel like they're doing too much of a job.
Well, I think there's some people you just can't do that with right now. Like, you know, medical workers and stuff like that. I think that's a different category.
I mean, workers swore an oath. I mean, they're kind of stuck with what they're doing. But
but they're also having to risk. Yeah, I guess so. But I think, you know, those people don't really have a choice, nor do first responders. And if you want to put them in a different category, I understand that. But, you know, yeah, I think it should go to the people out of work, or at least the people who aren't going to go out and buy damn lottery tickets with it. That's how I would do it. If you're not going to go out and buy lottery tickets or go to Forever 21, then, yeah, you get the money. So, yeah, I don't know. I just wish we'd get to a point where we didn't have to mess with this kind of stuff anymore.
Yep.
But it's not going away from that end of it. I mean, we haven't even begun to see the long-term economic impact yet. But, yeah, these murder hornets, man, you see what they do to bees? They basically just destroy
bees. Behead them.
Yeah. And
why don't the bees beat their ass?
Well, I mean, can't you team up?
Yeah, there's a lot of bees to one hornet.
I mean, I'm
not telling you how to do your bee business, but, I mean, it seems like a good move to attack the hornet.
Seems like they're a little cowardly. But this thing,
I'm not giving up my
stinger.
Hive that easy, I can tell you that.
This thing's stinger can get through it can puncture a beekeeping suit.
Damn.
And they have mandibles shaped like spiked shark fins that will wipe out a honeybee hive in a matter of hours, decapitating the bees and flying away with the thoraxes to feed their young.
Damn.
And in Japan, the hornets kill up to 50 people a year.
Oh, no. How do we get rid of them? Raid?
It doesn't say. I mean, we don't have them here yet. They're in Washington State where, guess what? Where'd we get the first big coronavirus breakout?
That was the big central location, yeah.
Yeah, so, Asia quit sending us stuff.
Yeah, we don't want your... I mean, we're done with your exports.
Yeah. We don't want the Rona, and we damn sure don't want murder hornets.
No, pass. Hard pass.
All right, guys, I'll tell you what you shouldn't be passing on. You shouldn't be passing on going to see my guy, Dr. Linville, and getting your hair back. And you can still set up your virtual consultation. It won't be long. They'll be able to start doing procedures again. So get it set up now. And I tell you, man, it makes such a difference. What they do is they take hair off the back of your head. It's called the neograft procedure. And they put it to wherever you're balding. And it doesn't matter how old you are, but if you're young and you're starting to lose your hair, now's the time. And, man, it has made a difference, man. I have a mane now, and I'm really excited about it. It just makes you feel better. It's nice to go outside and have the wind actually be in your hair. And I'm telling you, it's going to look great here as soon as I get it cut. But it's been a fantastic change of life. Just go to 975hair.com and set up that virtual consultation. And I'll tell you, Dr. Linville, he just wants to help people like you and me and even himself, because he's had it done as well. His hair looks great. Don't take my word for it. Take his. Get your virtual consultation today at 975hair.com.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And it is a Monday, and hopefully you guys are having a good one. So we'll have NFL schedule to talk about this week, AJ.
Oh, yes. We're going to go through every game. We're going to predict the final score. I'm ready for this. I've been waiting.
We'll pick every game against the spread.
That's right.
Like 6 months out. I don't know how this thing's going to play out. The Dolphins kind of release their plans for how they're going to do it, and sounds like they're going to let about 15,000 people in the building, which, you know, it's not all that different from a normal Dolphins home game. But, you know, I think if you do it, I mean, if everybody does what they're supposed to do, I suppose it could work.
I mean, I don't see why I couldn't.
Yeah, you know, and I think that's, to me, that, you know, you're not going to be able to do it the normal way where everybody's, and they're talking about how you would leave the stadium like you leave an airplane, like one row at a time and things like that, which, you know, all of that makes sense to me. And they're not doing any overseas games, which also makes sense. So, I mean, it just, I think if they make the right little adjustments here, then we can have football, which, more importantly, we have something to bet on.
Yeah. I don't know that there needs to be fans for there to be football, but if that's what it takes, I mean, if you can have, you know, people in restaurants, I don't see why you couldn't have a small amount of people in games.
Well, if you stick to the 25% thing, now clearly that's a lot more people than a restaurant, but, you know, if you keep them separated by the by their sections and things like that, and I noticed that they had one of the things they talked about is there wouldn't be concession lines. You would order and then go pick it up when it's ready so that you don't have concession lines. I think they should take it a step farther and just let people bring their own stuff in.
I think so, too. There's no point in doing concessions. Concessions is one more headache that you shouldn't have to worry about.
Yeah, except they, you know.
I mean, the only one I would say, alcohol is the one thing that they would have to have concessions with. But I would say bring your own snacks or whatever.
Yeah, bring your own hot dogs. I mean, there's a ton of ways to make it work. And, you know, I think by then, you know, hopefully, you know, at least, unless there's just another major outbreak, it seems like you could pull something like that off. And, you know, what'll be interesting is who you tell no to, especially when you've got 50,000 season ticket holders.
Yeah.
Who are going to be the people you say, we know you got four seats, you get.
Yeah, ideally, maybe there's a lottery system.
Yeah, and maybe you rotate it so that if you have season tickets, you get in at least one game of the eight. But what would suck would be if your lottery came up in the preseason. And that's the one.
Yeah, I mean, that is what it is. But, I mean, I don't know what you can do about that. Maybe you divide your guys by four, like you divide your season ticket holders into four or whatever. That's a quarter, or, you know, and then they each get a certain amount of games.
Yeah, I mean, I think there's ways to make it work. I really do, and you know, hopefully, hopefully if they just kind of roll it out that way and, you know, it doesn't make things worse, then, you know, I think it'd be fine. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. Can I throw a little Jaguar at you right now?
Sure.
They went through and put together their last seven first-round picks. They've had top 10 picks seven straight years. They had top five picks six straight years. Here's what they got. First, Blaine Gabbert. They have a big red X.
Not ideal.
His name. Justin Blackmon.
Not a good name. Didn't work out.
Luke Jokel.
Didn't really work out.
Big red X next to his name. Blake Bortles.
Cut. Should probably have a small red X because, I mean, they got something out of him, but obviously not enough.
He did get him to an AFC championship game. But then
yeah.
you still cut what was supposed to be your franchise quarterback. Dante Fowler.
Okay, well, he might work out somewhere else.
Yeah, he was okay, but not there. Jalen Ramsey, who was great, but you traded him.
Yep.
And Leonard Fournette.
Oh, boy.
And we wonder why the Jaguars suck.
They're terrible.
I mean, you have that many picks, and this is what you wind up with.
Yeah,
I mean, that many premium
rough.
Picks. I probably
how many? How many of those are top 10?
Hang on, this thing just dropped on me. I think they had,
I mean, most five, of those, right?
I think they had seven top tens.
Oh,
yeah, yeah. They had top 10 picks for seven straight years. And for six straight years, those were top five picks.
Man, that ain't good.
Yeah. So,
that's why we're not talking about them competing for the AFC South title.
Probably not.
Everyone else, we can see it. This one, uh-uh.
713-780-ESPN. If I have to go into your potentially coronavirus-riddled home and install internet just so you can watch Netflix and porn, I think I deserve hazard pay.
Oh, okay. I mean, you could also just tell your bosses, I'm not going to work here anymore.
St. Patrick brings up the ticket prices on the secondary market will go through the roof if they do it like that. I imagine so. And I don't know how you... I don't know how you can police people to not sell their tickets.
I don't know that you can. Unless you had, you have to match your ID. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, if you go to that where you're having to get an ID to get in the game too, then that's an awful lot of steps, but maybe that's what they do. So, I don't know. I don't know if you saw this, but one of the sites did the worst nine moves of the NFL season, and your Texans had the top two.
Obviously,
we know what number one is.
Yeah, I mean, I don't. I'm curious what their number two is. The Hopkins is number one.
Yeah, they have them number one and number four. They put the Brandon Cooks trade as the is a horrible move, which I disagree, but that's all right. You're entitled to your opinion.
Yep.
And I'm not going to defend the Texans too much. I mean, obviously the Hopkins one is a clear number one.
Agreed.
So, what do you guys think about Dalton signing with the Cowboys? I guess that happened Saturday.
But I think we kind of knew on Friday, right?
Did we? I guess we did.
No, maybe not. We knew he was cut. That's right. We didn't know he was signed yet.
Yeah, we talked about where he might go, but I think that's a really good backup quarterback to have.
And honestly, if that way, if Dak wants to get cute and hold out, I mean, the Cowboys are going to say, okay, well, we'll live without you. And it may be the right message to send to Dak that, you know, is Andy Dalton the long-term answer? No, but he could certainly be a bridge to a new guy.
Well, the one of the sites, I think it was Pro Football Talk, speculated that until Dak signs his franchise tag, the Cowboys could just pull it back.
Yeah.
And make him a free agent.
And where's he going to go now? Like, where's the landing spot that, you know, that's going to pay him that money?
Well, that franchise tag is going to pay him $31 million.
Right. I'm saying if they make him a free agent, where could he go as a free agent where he'd get $31 million? Or even close to that?
Well, I mean, there's
especially
teams
at this point in the game.
Well, yeah, I mean, everybody feels like they've got their quarterback. And if Cam Newton can't get a job, you think Dak Prescott's going to get one?
Yeah. Well, especially at the price that he thinks he's commanding.
Yeah, I think this has got the opportunity to really kind of suck.
I think Dak is – I mean, the mistake that Dak is making is if the reports are true that Dak passed on, you know, a contract that would have made him the highest-paid quarterback in the league, if he passed on that, I think he's going to really regret that eventually. I think if he really got offered $31.5 million or whatever it is and he said, no, I'm holding out, I think that he's going to have big regrets.
I would tend to agree with that. All right, let's take a very quick break. But first, tell the people what their kids should be doing in their driveway.
They should be hooping it up. That's what my kids are doing. And, man, this has been, you know, a time I've heard a couple of my friends say, oh, my God, my kids are driving me crazy. They're in there. All they are is blah, blah, blah in my face, blah, blah, blah. They're fighting over video games. My kids aren't doing that. They've been outside hooping it up pretty much every day. And they're doing it on the finest goal you can get. Pro Dunk Hoops. They are still installing. They're doing it safely. They're protecting you. They're protecting their employees. And they're installing the best goals on the market. The thickest steel of any goal on the market. 75% thicker than the best brands in the big box stores. A tempered glass backboard so strong. Hoops guarantees if it breaks or cracks for any reason, they'll replace it for free. It's got a rust armor finish, so it's built to last. And they've got a design to fit your home, your driveway, your backyard. They've got a fully portable version if you've got a picky HOA. And they're adjustable from 10 feet to 5 feet with the turn of a handle. Get your new Hoops goal today. See it all at ProDunkHoops.com. Get your kids outside. That's ProDunkHoops.com, 281-351-9822.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776 as we delve into the second decade of The Blitz. We had a lot of fun on Friday looking back and having a bunch of our old friends on. So it was a good time, but now we're off and running to the next 10 years. And, you know, if we make it there. I mean, I think the consensus is I have to live that long. But I'm taking some steps off, but I actually I got to get some of the title stuff worked out with the car. But as soon as that's sold, I've already ordered some gym equipment to put in the garage. And I'm going to be set up to work out from home every single day.
There so, you go.
Yeah. Just ordered one of those machines that has like 36 exercises you can do on it. And then I got one of those, basically it's a bike stand, so you can ride your bike in place. And got one of those. So the goal is to hit the weights every day and do an hour on the bike every day. And, you know, we'll see how that works out for me over the next couple months.
Very good, Freddie. Good for you.
Trying to get healthy. I want to keep doing the show for a while.
There you go.
If that's all right with everybody. if you saw the text we just got, but apparently 610 is talking about how fans should react if the Texans beat the Chiefs on opening night right now. Oh, God. Really?
Shame.
Hey, you know, apparently there's a segment of the population that wants to hear that. So I'll actually wait and see, you know, who it is they wind up playing opening night before I speculate on that. But because I'm pretty sure the Chiefs have some sexier opponents. Could be wrong about that.
I would guess so.
Yeah. I assume they go back to the Super Bowl champs hosting week one, which they went away from last year for yet another boring ass NFC North game. But yeah, you know, that's their choice.
Yep.
Man, I don't know if it's just... Oh, did you watch the Jordan stuff last night?
I did. I don't want to get into it too much because I told Lance that's what we would talk about today.
Okay. Because I was a little disappointed in it because I was expecting a lot more in-depth into the gambling as opposed to just, oh, I don't have a problem because, you know, my kids eat. So I was looking forward to that one, and I felt pretty disappointed in it, not going to lie. Did watch watch a bunch of stuff this weekend that The Extraction I finally watched, which apparently is now the most viewed release movie in Netflix history.
Jeez, I haven't watched it yet.
It's somebody described it pretty well. It's like a John Wick type thing. I enjoyed it. I mean, it's not something you're going to go, oh, that's the greatest thing I've ever seen. But, you know, it's not a bad 2 hours. And I started watching that Last Kingdom, which is kind of based in pre-England England. And it's not bad. It's not, again, it's not something that I'm going to go out and say, oh, you got to watch this show. But it doesn't suck. And I'm kind of into it. But, so that was my watching habits for the weekend. And
I'm still rewatching The Wire.
I got through season one, and then I just kind of got into some other stuff. And I feel like when I start rewatching, then I'm getting desperate. So I'm kind of doing it in stages.
Yeah,
because I find some other things to get into, and you know,
I'm rewatching The Wire, and my wife is still watching that. What's it called? The Outlander show. So that's that's really all I've been watching lately. But I just haven't spent much time in front of the TV, honestly.
Well, it's not a bad thing. I've been kind of, it's just I just have more time because I don't have kids, and I'm trying to do other stuff, and I haven't watched as much TV as I did like the first couple weeks where I was just trying to find anything to watch. But, you know, still now I'm trying some different things that people have suggested. And, you know, like I said that I prefer a movie right now than diving into another series. But, you know, that's why I kind of like that Extraction. But yeah. Again, it's not something that if you don't watch it for 2 weeks, I don't think you're missing anything. I mean, it's
okay.
It's really popular because there's nothing else. We talked about this last week. It's probably your only summer blockbuster, right? Because
it's gotta be.
You know, maybe by July they're doing big releases, but all these things that have been pushed back a year that were supposed to be out, I don't think they're gonna suddenly say, "Oh well, wait, let's do this in July now." So that might be it in terms of big movies. My only thing about it is all I hear is Thor when Chris Hemsworth talks.
Yeah, that's what I've heard. It's difficult
Thor.
To separate.
Yeah. I mean, it's drunk Thor, no question, but which I like. But yeah, it's just, you know, if you close your eyes, it's like, oh, okay, this is Thor with a gun.
Yeah.
So, somebody said, I just got on Last Kingdom 2. It starts off slow, but I heard it gets much better around season 3 when Netflix took over. Yeah, I'm in season 2 right now, and like I said, it's okay. It's not something I'm going to punt on. It's not Westworld. But it's, you know, It's good enough to keep me watching. It's just not something I'm going to say,
yeah. You
know? Go out and watch this. It's not like Banshee or something like that. I'll love to tell you guys when you need to be on something that you're not. But it's one if you're looking for something to watch, good luck. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776 if you want to get in. And, I've been seeing a lot of stories. I really think there's going to be college football in some form or fashion, unless we have another big round of this, because it sure looks like all the colleges are going to try to get people back in the fall.
I think that we've got a lot of – I mean, everybody's got ideas about what's going to happen, but then – you know, like the last 3 days, I think three of the last 4 days have been in the top five in new cases in the country. I think yesterday or the day before was the worst one-day death toll from the pandemic yet in the U.S. It's like, I get that everybody's in a rush to reopen things, but I really think it's going to get dialed back again. I think that people are going to start to see these numbers and go, you know what, we thought we were through the worst of the first wave, and I don't think we were.
Yeah, I tend to agree, but I'm wondering if you can dial it back again at this point. You can do stuff like, okay, don't go to school.
Yeah,
but some of this other stuff, I'm afraid that we've started doing again. They're just people aren't going to listen. It's just that's the biggest problem. It's not what we, it's not what we think we need to do. It's not what we're told we need to do. It's just who's actually going to do it. And I just think there's too many people that are not paying any attention whatsoever. And they're just like, okay, going back to restaurants means I can go to the beach with 250,000 people. And that's, that's unfortunate, but, Eugene says, if you haven't yet, The Gentleman is a good movie. I watched that a couple weeks ago. I'm pretty much in on any Guy Ritchie movie. And it was pretty much classic Guy Ritchie.
There you go.
The wife calls him Guy Ritchie.
It's been on my list to watch. I haven't gotten around to it yet.
Yeah, I think you'll like it. It's not world beater. It's not his best movie, but any time that you've got, Charlie Hunnam's in it, and he's really good. And of course, all right. Whenever you put him in a movie, it's going to be good. So, I thought it was good. So. 713-780-ESPN is your number, 713-780-3776. And I'm getting the inevitable text, have you seen this? Have you seen this? Yes, I've seen it. We've seen them all. Trust me. Apparently Yellowstone's coming back, too. Sometime, which you probably won't be able to watch since you don't have DirecTV.
I think I'll be able to watch it on an app.
Oh, okay.
It's on Paramount Channel?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think I might be able to watch that on an app.
I think you can, because that's one of the ones we went and looked up when we were trying to figure out what we need to get rid of DirecTV. And, yeah, I think there's an app where they show all those. All right, let's take a quick break. Please don't go anywhere. It is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
ESPN 97.5.